we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Nature is full of horrors, but none as terrifying as fruit that's fuzzy. Hairy on the outside, slimy on the inside, with a heart of stone that wants nothing more than to break your teeth.
Sean is afraid of peaches. Come on, Sean.
Ever since I was a kid, ever since I was little, it's the feel, the touch, the look, everything. Whether it's fuzzy, they're slimy.
Bring in the peaches.
When it comes to your fears, you're never alone.
So let's bring up all those lights. We don't want it to be too scary in here, right? Don't be afraid. You're at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. We're a fun-loving church. We might, dress up in costumes and go around and take funny videos and make fun of Maury Povich clips. We're fun-loving. We love Jesus, and we love people. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I'm glad to have fellowship with you, even you people on the internet. I love your comments. I love to touch base with you. Some of you have been texting in on the anonymous text line, 214-856-0550. Glad to have fellowship with you. Also, we're in the third week. Everyone said third week. Of the Fear series. Last week we told you that fear is conditional. Right. And that's some really good news, because fear doesn't work in every condition. Yes. Fear needs the lights to be off. Fear needs there to be a dark and stormy night. Fear needs, there to be a presidential debate. It needs these things in order to work there. I'm glad someone chuckled at it. All right. Imagine with me for today that you're in a room, and the house is secured. You've walked around this old plantation-like mansion, and you have checked every door and every window. You have taken spare scraps of wood, and you have boarded up those windows. You've boarded up those doors. And everyone in the house, they have weapons. Maybe not guns, but maybe a pickaxe, maybe a hoe, something that they've got. And people stationed strategically to secure this house. But what happens? The zombies get in anyway. The creature gets in anyway. The killer gets in anyway. You didn't know it, but it was your best friend the whole time. And you're like, no! Like, bros, man. It's like, I'm sorry. And then you're dead. That's what always happens, right? You've seen that in a movie, right? You've seen that happen. Here's what I want you to get today. Fear shows up when it wants. All right. And fear does what it wants. Fear always manages to call the shots. Doesn't matter if you board up the windows. It's gonna get in anyway. Fear is always able to slip inside. This is a pretty scary looking dude here today. Fear always seems to outwit us. You ever seen one of those movies where they're like, I know what we'll do. We'll spend all this time. We'll think of a way to stop this awful thing from happening. It outwits you like in 5 seconds, right? That's the movie. You've seen it. Fear defeats your logic. In fact, we're often afraid of illogical things that don't even make sense, like peaches. The number of things you can be afraid of, it's unlimited. And the number of ways that fear can affect your life, it's unlimited. Fear, can we be honest? It appears stronger than us. It appears smarter than us. Fear appears faster than us. Fear, it looks like we've got a losing battle with fear. Fear has been around so long that sometimes we can't imagine it not being there. Fear always seems to have access, no matter. See, I'm afraid of heights. I related to a lot of our anonymous texts last week where you texted in your fear. I am so afraid of heights. I was in the Hilton in Houston, right? And I was doing fine until we went up an elevator. And the elevator, of course, was a glass elevator. And I don't know what happened, but I suddenly, Joseph, I was so afraid, I went straight to the ground. And it was one of these places, they had a restaurant on the top that spun around. So it moved, right? And so I finally get up. I start walking into the restaurant. I'm like, this is okay. Don't look stupid, of all things. Please don't look stupid. I've never been successful with that one. But they had this line on the floor where the Hilton wouldn't move. And then once you cross this line, it's going to move. And I don't know what happened, but I walked right across that thing. And I was like, oh my God. And I went straight to the ground and I crawled to my table. Really awesome, really cool moment, very cool. Fear made me do that. With all kinds of people looking on, they did comp our meal, which was cool, but it was so scary. It was so scary. I didn't want fear to show up there, but man, fear muscled its way in. Fear found its way right in the middle of where I was right then. You see, he pushes his way into everything. He pushes his way. He messes up everything. You think you've got it figured out. He says you don't, and he'll show you why. He'll just turn it on its head right there. Fear acts like it belongs in your life. Have you ever had a really important conversation or a really important meeting or maybe an important test or maybe an important performance? And you walk into that and you've studied your guts out. You've been prepared and you're feeling pretty good about it. But there's something about when you step in the moment, guess who else steps into the moment? Fear steps into the moment and it falls apart. Have you ever experienced that? I have experienced that. I've done it. So we have this enemy and he's just hanging around and his name is fear. So does the Bible give us any hope in this situation? Because this seems pretty daunting. This seems like there's not a whole lot you can do. Maybe take some medicine and just try to sleep it off. But maybe the Bible gives us some hope, and it does. Psalm chapter 23. You're familiar with that one? 23 verse 5. Look at this verse with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now you know the scripture, right? You got a picture of the scripture? You know that you're very familiar with it. It's an amazing picture of how the Lord your shepherd blesses you. Have you ever been blessed by God? Are you blessed by God today? Absolutely. He blesses you by being a provider. And on this table, he has provided all you need. And of course, when it's a table, we think about food, right? Yeah. Oh, but man, how many knows he provides a lot more than just food, doesn't he? Yeah. He provides health. He provides hope. He provides mercy. He provides grace. He provides your job. He provides the electric bill. He provides. You go on and on. The God that we call the Lord, our shepherd, he provides. God always has a way of giving us everything we need. He prepared a table. But wait a second. Fear shows up when he wants
And fear does what he wants. Fear just walks in and says, oh, cool, you prepared a table for me. And fear has a seat at the table. See, fear is always acting like he owns the place. When a new job opportunity comes away, what is that? That's the Lord preparing a table. But you know what? You ought to feel hope, but fear sits down at the table. You're like, oh, it's not going to show. It's not going to turn out right. When you have a new relationship and you ought to feel really happy, you ought to feel really joyful, but fear comes and it starts whispering about your past failures. It starts whispering about how you have messed up in the past. It whispers that, you know, all marriages are going to end up in divorce anyway. So what are you really hoping for? You're going to mess this up again. You'll never be happy. That's what fear does. He's just the table prepared for you. He comes and sits right there. Instead of focusing on your accomplishments and victories, I'm going to tell you real quick, this is for you. One of the worst things you can do in life is to not celebrate the current victory. I tell you, I see it a big problem. God gives you a victory, it's time to celebrate it. Don't move on from that victory too quickly. You ought to celebrate it. If you see someone in your life that has a victory, you ought to have a victory party with them. Don't just act like that was no big deal. You need to celebrate the victories. Spouses, celebrate each other's victories. Church, celebrate each other's victories. Every victory. And you should celebrate your victories. Instead of focusing on our accomplishments and our victories, though, fear stares at us from its place at the table. And it reminds you of all the terrible things that might happen. And that, by the way, he never runs out of things that might happen that are terrible. Fear reminds you about the people that don't like you. Raise your hands if you have someone that doesn't like you. Fear reminds you all the time about the people that... Fear reminds you that your life, you know, your life really should have progressed past this point by now. Yeah, it does. At a time where you should be celebrating the table that's prepared for you, fear has you worried about the next meal. You can't even enjoy this meal because you're worried about the next meal. Fear has you thinking irrational thoughts. Fear will make you think everyone is against you. Now, you won't say amen on that, but you and I both know that you walk into rooms sometime and you get a feeling in that room and you just go, they don't like me. Nobody likes me in this room. You walk into your place of work and you're like, hi, Joe, and Joe doesn't say anything. And you're like, oh my gosh, Joe hates my guts. Actually, Joe's just checking his Facebook, but fear tells you Joe hates your guts and you believe it. Fear will wake you up at night. Have you ever woken up afraid? That's something that runs in my family. I've really had to fight. My grandfather would wake up in the middle of the night, just shoot up in bed. He's like, I left the keys in the car. And he'd be go to the car, search all over the car for the keys. No, he put the car keys somewhere else. But he would wake up afraid of something that was actually inconsequential. But fear comes along and it blows everything out of proportion. Fear will cause you to concentrate on things you have no control over. Right. Oh, yeah, it will. Yeah, it will. I tell you what, you ought to be educated on the political situation, but don't pay it too much mind because you can't control half the things that are going to happen anyway. You can't control what Putin does over in Russia. You can't control what ISIS does. And let me tell you, here's a little dirty secret. Hillary and Donald can't either. So just calm down. All right? Are we okay with that? All right. You see, fear shows up with this whole baggage full of stuff. And where does he sit? He sits at the table that was prepared for you. Why? Because fear, it shows up when it wants to. And fear does what it wants to. So what do we do? What do we do about this? Fear has sat at the table. So you know what we do? We just
We just pull up a table, pull up a chair, and we sit at the same table as our enemy. Does not make for good dinner conversation. We just pull up a chair and we spend time with somebody that's completely an uninvited guest. You know that's what fear is in your life, right? You didn't invite fear. I didn't invite a fear of heights in my life. I didn't invite a fear of commitment and marriage, all that, all those things I went through as a young man. I didn't invite those things. Those things came. They were uninvited. And I lived with them. I sat at the table with them. Psalm 23 and 5, let's look at it again. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I got a question for you. Who prepared the table? You sure? We're pretty sure about that. It's real easy, right? Yeah. Who prepared the table? The Lord your shepherd prepared the table, right? That's how the verse, the chapter starts. The Lord is my shepherd. He prepares a table before me. So the Lord prepared the table. So does that mean you didn't prepare it? Yeah. That's what that means. That now, I'm not saying you didn't work hard. I'm not saying you didn't go after your dreams and you didn't go after your goals. But no, it's very clear that the Lord prepares the table. Can I tell you, the scripture says many things about this. The scripture that says that even if you gained a lot of money and you got a really high-paying job, that your Bible says this, that God gave you the ability to create wealth. So every billionaire on the face of the planet, they might have worked hard for all that, but God gave them the ability to do it. All your gifts and talents, God gave you the ability for it. Let me tell you, God gives you the ability right now to breathe and for your heart to beat and for you to wake up in the morning. He gives you all those. He created, prepared the table. You didn't. But also that means this. He didn't. Fear did not prepare the table. Well, can we talk about fear a little bit? What has fear ever built? What has fear ever created that has done a lick of good in the world? Has it done any good for you? It has not. Fear has never built anything. Fear tears down things. Fear stalls things. Fear stands in the way and obstructs things. It's an obstacle. That's what fear does. So who prepared this table? Was it fear? Was it you? No, it was the Lord. I tell you what, you ought to spend some time thanking the Lord for the table He's prepared for you. You ought to wake up in the morning and have a little bounce to your step and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. When the whole world is like, man, I've got a house, but I really need a better house. That shouldn't be us. We should be, thank the Lord for the table that I have. Instead of saying, man, they have a better relationship than I do. They have a better car than I do. Whatever happened to just being thankful to the Lord our shepherd for preparing a table for us. Can I tell you that thanksgiving, thankfulness, worship, and praise to God, fear don't like that. The devil doesn't like that. The enemy doesn't like that. Maybe that's what you should do instead. So, who prepared the table? One more time. The Lord your shepherd. Next question. Who did He prepare the table for? You are such a smart church. He prepared the table for you. Did He prepare the table for Him? Now, this is really key. It says that He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. It doesn't say He prepared a table for you and for your enemies. It says in the presence of your enemies. Okay, so we often want the scripture. Have you ever just read a scripture and just like wanted it to read it a different way? Right? Okay.
We often want this scripture to read something like this. The Lord your shepherd, God removes all your enemies. He kicks them out, he makes fun of them and taunts them as they go running. And all your problems he has yanked out. And all your fear is totally shriveled up into nothing. He's totally obliterated it. And then at that moment, God says, I shall make a table. That's what we want it to read, right? That the enemies are gone, the problems are gone, the fear is gone, and then the Lord prepares a table. But friends, that's not what it says, is it? It says he prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And you might be going, that it sounds like a dumb idea, God. Why not just kick the enemies out? Why not just show them who is boss? Let me tell you why. You see, if God worked that way, if he defeated all your enemies for you and then prepared a table, if God worked that way, then you would never have to stand up and be a strong person of character. Because he would just solve that for you. If he worked this way, then you would never have to face your fear. If God worked that way, then he would reward laziness. I'm just going to stand here and, you know, just wait till God fixes this and wait for his table to appear. No. If God worked that way, you would not need faith. While you're surrounded by enemies, you ought to be standing firm and you ought to be looking for the table that God is preparing. So this is how it works. In the middle of the problem, not after the problem, in the middle of the problem, when the fear is staring you down, God can be found. You know where he is? He's preparing the table. In the middle of the panic, when it seems like there's no hope, God can still be found. Can somebody tell me where he can be found? He's preparing the table. In the middle of your demise, in the middle of all the gossipers saying, oh, they are stupid and they are gone. They are totally about to get fired. They are totes ugly and no one likes them. In the middle of all that, when your enemy has lied about you, when your enemy has stolen from you, and you are surrounded, can I tell you, God can still be found. He is found preparing a table for you. So can I tell you, for somebody that you're surrounded by your enemies, can I tell you something? Provision is coming. You lie all you want, fear. Provision is coming. The Lord, my provider, is coming. Not only are you going to see it, but your enemies are going to see it. Not only are you going to see it, but the people that have been talking all kinds of mess about you, they're going to see it. Not only are you going to see it, but people that never believed in God before are going to see God prepare this table for you when there shouldn't have been any way that ever happened. It should have been impossible, but God did it. Your miracle is coming, and the ones that tried their best to stop it in the natural, they're going to get a dose of God's supernatural when God prepares the table. He does it. You see, this is how God works. He goes right in front of the enemy's face, and he says, oh, you're here? Let me show you this table I'm preparing for my beloved child. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's like, here's hell, here's a rock, here's my church. I'm going to make hell look at it all the time. That's how he works. God gets right in the face of your enemy and blesses you. Do you get this? God doesn't get right in the face of your enemy and slap them. He gets right in the face of your enemy and blesses you. Now, you're going to miss this if you're praying, God, you slap them good in Jesus' name. God, you get that heavenly Holy Ghost belt out and just let them have it. You're going to be missing it. You ought to be praying for those people and praying that they understand that God is faithful and praying that they see the blessing that flows from living for God. That's, my friend, that's how it works right there. Not only will you witness your prepared table, but your enemies are going to see it happen. Here's pretty much, I'm drawing to a close almost already. It's your table. Look at somebody and say, it's your table. God prepared this table for you. It's your table. So why on earth would you allow the enemy to sit at your table? This table is your table. So why on earth would you allow fear to speak at your table? Why would you let fear eat your lunch, eat your bread, drink your drink? Why would you let that happen? Because God, the Lord your shepherd, He's prepared this table and He's prepared it for you. It's your table. So you know what you ought to do? You ought to just say, step off. Get out. This is not your place. I'm not going to listen to what you say anymore. I'm not going to obey you. You're not welcome here anymore. No, I said go. Get out. Skit. Scat there, kitty. All right. That's how it works. Why it works is because you have a Lord that's prepared the table for you. And so fear, He's not welcome there. And, you know, we say that. Well, you know, I just don't want to be afraid anymore. Right? We say those things. But I want to tell you, you have to look fear in the eye and tell fear where he belongs. And you have to own the things that God has given you. You see, as long as you're letting an enemy eat up your resources, eat up your time, eat up your money, eat up your peace, you're not acting like it's your table. You're acting like it's theirs. You follow me? I'm telling you that depression, past mistakes, what other people may have said about you, your self-doubt, your self-pity, your poverty, your weakness, maybe your poverty mindset and your weakness, you need to tell them you're not welcome here anymore. Don't hang out with those thoughts. If you have people in your life that are speaking those things to you, don't listen. Get away. They aren't welcome at your table. I know that sounds rude, but guess what? This table was prepared for you. Don't you dare allow an enemy to come talking that mess. You may need to name some people who are not welcome at your table anymore. Right? Not telling you to get ugly, not telling you to be mean, but there might be somebody in your life that is a negative influence on you, and they only speak fear into you, they only speak failure into you, they only speak negative into you. Guess what? You need to name that person today and say, that's a person I've let be at my table far too long. I don't need those people at my table. These people, they're just keeping you away from God's plan for you. You definitely, can I tell you, you definitely need to tell Satan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely, you need to have, just speak it out to the devil that he does not have a place in your life anymore. He does not have a place prepared for you in your life anymore. That this blessed table is from God and he's not allowed there. You ought to walk around your life and declare that this is the table God has prepared for me. You ought to walk into your job every day full of joy because God gave you this table. He gave you this job. That God gave you these children. I know they aren't perfect. I know they mess up. I know they scream and yell. And they will tell the youth pastor that they don't want to go to children's church. I know that they will do those things. But guess what? That's your table. That's your blessing. God has given you those things. You need to name those things as blessings. You need to hold on to those things. And let me tell you, you don't need to let fear start talking to you about your children. You don't need fear to start talking to you about your finances. No, sir. No way. Your house, your family, your job. How about this? Your calling and your purpose in Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Here's my last question for you. Who is going to sit at your table? Who's going to sit at your table? You see, now we have an empty seat at this table. Who's going to sit here? You see, it's not enough to just chase fear off. It's not enough to like sprinkle holy water and anointing oil and say, Satan, get out of my house. No, you also have to fill this seat. As long as this seat is empty, fear will come right back and sit down. The devil will come right back and sit down. Who told us this? Jesus himself told us this. He says that you bind the strong man of a house, and he's talking about spiritual things, and you cast them out of that house. But guess what? Because you didn't fill the house, those demons came back and found the house empty, and they came back twofold. They came back twice as strong. That's in the scripture. So if you do not fill this seat, you're in big trouble. Fear is going to come right back on you. Can I tell you, do not let anyone wrestle their way into your blessed life. There's some people that will just try to strong arm themselves, just try to force themselves into your finances, force themselves into your time, force themselves into your affection, force themselves into those. Don't you dare do it. Do not let things that dishonor, let's just go there. Do not let things that dishonor the one who prepared the table sit at the table. All right. Who prepared the table? The Lord your shepherd. Don't let people that actively dishonor the Lord your shepherd sit at the table. Are you saying I can't be their friends? No, I'm not saying that. You saying I can't try to win them for Jesus? No. You tell them I can't go see a movie with them? Not necessarily saying those things. But I'm telling you, this table was created by the Lord your shepherd. Shouldn't it honor the Lord your shepherd? In fact, here's a crazy idea. How about we invite the one who prepared the table to sit at the table? You see, that's not actually written anywhere in Psalm 23. It's a quick chapter if you want to read it real quick. It's not in there. It doesn't say, and then I invited the Lord, my shepherd, to sit there. See, that's your choice. That's your decision. That's why it doesn't read that way. So how about you invite the one who prepared the table to sit at the table? Can I tell you, if the Lord your shepherd is sitting at the table, fear doesn't sit at the table. If the Lord your shepherd is sitting at your table, you won't be lying. You won't be stealing. You won't be doing drugs. You won't be caught in cheating on your wife. You won't be stuck in addictions. You won't be stuck in pornography. You won't be stuck in these things. You won't be stuck in a dead-end life. You won't have to worry about the next meal, because the one who provided this meal is already sitting at the table. Why don't you invite the Lord to sit at the table? Is the Lord your shepherd at your table today? I know analogies like, how am I supposed to understand this table? It's so out there. No, it's your life. It's your blessing. In Hebrew culture, the table represented a place of community. It represented a place of relationship. You didn't really know somebody until you ate with them. Don't you still kind of feel that way? You don't really know somebody until you sit down and you eat some fruity pebbles together. Amen. That's right. Preach. All right. Is the Lord your shepherd sitting at the table? Are you ready to remove fear, that uninvited guest, from your table? I'm serious. Are you ready to do that? You know, that's no small decision. And that's not like, I'm going to say that this moment and then it's done. No, it's like a commitment. It's like signing up for the army. You don't just go, oh, you mean we're going to do this again tomorrow? No. If you really want to get rid of fear in your life, you need to sign up today. You need to talk to the Lord. And not just today on Sunday when it's easy, we're all gathered here, but tomorrow. And whenever fear comes around, you shut it down and you start to talk to God. You start to pray to God. I have a friend. It's a wonderful friend. Her name is Teresa. And I remember she had an issue with drugs when she came to the Lord. And she was so strongly hooked on drugs that getting off the drugs was like almost unbearable. She had sweats. She had hallucinations. And she was so afraid. And she was a brand new Christian. And so she went to her pastor and said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to get off drugs. I keep failing. What can I do? I'm so afraid at night. I feel like the devil himself is coming into my room and trying to snatch me and trying to lie to me and do all. What can I do?" And that pastor said, "Do you know any scriptures?" She said, "Well, I know the Lord's Prayer." He's like, "Great. Quote it. Every time you feel afraid, why don't you quote the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven." She felt that presence come into that room. She felt all that. And she started to say, she didn't know what else to do. We're talking immature Christian that doesn't know anything, can't rub two scriptures together, but she just has this little part memorized. "The Lord is my shepherd." No, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." I tell you what, when she was saying that, fear started to leave the room. But the reason fear started to leave the room is because her Father in heaven entered the room. If you believe that, why don't you clap your hands if you believe that? I believe that story. I know that. Let me tell you, you don't have to know everything about God. You don't have to have all the Bible figured out. You don't have to be able to speak Latin or Greek or Hebrew or all those things. You just need to know a little bit about the Lord. Know enough that He made this table for you. Know enough to say, "God, if you created this for me, maybe you should be in my life." All right. And invite Him there. Have you been focusing on your fear more than your Savior? Christians are guilty of that. Have you allowed fear to call the shots? Because He sure wants to. Have you forgotten to invite the Lord into your blessed life? Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe you know a lot of scripture. But maybe you've forgotten to just invite Him into your day. Invite Him into your worries, your fears. Remember, I told you that fear shows up when it wants, and fear does what it wants. If you're ever going to defeat fear in your life, then you got to do something. You got to do something intense. You can't just like make a little change in your life. You have to do a full court press against that fear. You have to do a full court press towards Jesus. That's what you've got to do. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. Number one, we've done it. Everybody worships. We sing praise to Jesus today. Number two is we receive the Word of God together. We did that just now. Now, I want to invite you to do the third thing. Here's the third thing. Everybody talks to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God. And for the next few minutes, I want you to just have uninterrupted talk with God. I want you to talk to Him. I don't want you to worry about stuff. I want you to start to talk to Him. I don't want you to fear about things in the past or things tomorrow. I want you to start to talk to Him. And you start telling Him, "God, I believe that You gave me this life, and I want to welcome You into this life. I want to have You sit at my table." Can we do that? Right now, if you know what goes on here at Redemption Church, why don't you come? If you want special prayer in this place, why don't you come in the first 2 feet? If you come into this first 2 feet where I'm standing right now, it means you want us to pray with you, and we'll pray with you. We will pray victory, and we'll believe God will do great things. Wherever you are in this place, why don't you spend some time, talk to God, open up your mouth, and start to pray. Open up your mouth and start to thank God for defeating fear and giving you all good things. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everybody in this room. I have no idea what everyone is going through, but God, you know what they're going through. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray comfort for them. I pray healing for them. I pray hope for them, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against fear. Lord, if somebody is facing enemies, in Jesus' name, we proclaim victory in Jesus' name. Lord God, Lord, let us change our lives, God. Lord, let us be thankful people. Let us be full of victory, God. We pray all of this.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.